Why it's still so hard to insulate the supply chain from ethical abuses. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams, in for Molly Wood. Some major retailers are pulling some Chinese-made video surveillance cameras and equipment off their shelves. That's due to concerns the companies that make the equipment, Lorex and Esviz, have ties to human rights abuses in China as part of the vast network being used to surveil Uyghurs, an ethnic minority group of over 12 million people living in China. This was brought to the attention of Home Depot and others by the publication TechCrunch, which also reported that Lowe's and Best Buy stopped selling these products. Sam Sachs is a cyber policy fellow at the nonprofit New America and a research scholar at Yale. She said this is an area where U.S. companies are on their own when it comes to this kind of thing.
There's nothing in U.S. law, from my understanding, that would prohibit companies like Home Depot from selling them in the store. And I think that what retailers are responding to is more reputational risk, because this is really a gray zone, and I think it's very difficult from an enforcement perspective. Also, American companies are kind of out on their own. There's not really legislation that get at these particular human rights issues and particularly this sort of web of supply chains.
Worth noting here that China consistently responds to these kinds of stories by saying forced labor doesn't exist in the country, but the U.S. government, the UN, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and most experts on the topic point to reams of evidence to the contrary. Has highlighting these concerns over the years made any difference?
You know, I think it has at the margins. The Chinese government has made an effort to shift, I think, to be sort of less blatant in some ways. I think that there are reports coming out, not that the camps are closing per se, but that they are maybe shifting some of the focus to the traditional prison system or looking to relocate some of the Uyghurs that have been in the re-education camps to vocational facilities in other parts of China. You know, the question is, are these meaningful shifts? Is the Chinese government actually responding in a meaningful way? I think that's maybe a bit of a different question, but the sort of public shaming, I think, is having an effect on how visible some of these efforts are.
This is coming at a time when supply chain issues are already making it challenging to buy some consumer tech and other consumer products. How is that factoring into how vigilant companies are being monitoring their supply chains for whether or not their products are being made using forced labor?
You know, I think there's a sea change underway where in the sort of globalization golden era, the emphasis was on how can we increase efficiency in supply chains and bring products at the lowest cost to consumers. And now with the attention on human rights abuses and how some of these entanglements in China create not just human rights issues, but also potential national security risks, I think companies are facing increased pressure to be accountable to those sort of notoriously complicated and difficult to monitor pieces of the supply chain.
What about this moment is making these changes happen more quickly? And how are companies kind of selling that effort internally and to their shareholders?
I think it's a collision of factors. Some of them are very much about the U.S.-China commercial and investment relationship, but some of it is much bigger. And I think that there's a reckoning underway about surveillance technology more broadly. Part of this is, yes, what happens with Chinese companies in terms of facial recognition and the use of algorithms in ways that could be used to, you know, detain dissidents or other ethnic minorities in China. But then there's a question which is much bigger, which is we're kind of in a wild west when it comes to surveillance technology. And it's not just Chinese companies. I think that, you know, we had the Facebook whistleblower testifying to Congress the other week about the use of algorithms algorithmic harms that are being used to push content to teenage users. And we also, I think, haven't really gotten past the Cambridge Analytica moment of who has your data, who are they sharing it with? And this is a completely unregulated space. So I think it's kind of a two-part reckoning. There's the U.S.-China entanglement reckoning, and then there's a who has your data and how is surveillance being used globally? And this is uncharted territory. You know, U.S. does not have federal privacy law, and we don't have a way to regulate this regardless of sort of what country is tied to a company.
Do we have any kind of regulatory framework to help protect consumers from being exposed to these kinds of products, whether it be because of the surveillance concerns or even the forced labor concerns?
What I worry about right now is there are no meaningful checks on how all companies collect and share and use data. And what's happening is, in the absence of that, I think we're basically legislating privacy through the China threat narrative. So are there distinct concerns posed by Chinese companies handling American citizen data? Absolutely. But if we just deal with this by a sort of whack-a-mole approach where you ban a rotating cast of Chinese companies, you're not actually getting at the problem. I mean, there's a vast chains of data brokers can still access that data and sell it back to Beijing if that's what you're worried about, right? So by focusing just on the China threat, I think we're missing opportunities to get at this from a more systemic way to address the sort of security and privacy issues that, in the absence of federal privacy law and more robust cybersecurity regulations, are still going to be a problem.
Sam Sachs is a cyber policy fellow at the nonprofit New America. And now for some related links. We have a link to that TechCrunch article I mentioned on our website, marketplacetech.org, plus a Reuters piece with some exclusive reporting on how some U.S. companies have worked with the Chinese government to use forced labor by Uyghur workers. Earlier this year, the Rand Corporation released a report where they used satellite imagery to track the size and growth of the networks of camps and prisons human rights advocates say are being used to detain Uyghurs and other ethnic minorities. The imagery is good enough, they can even see the barbed wire fencing and how many ways in or out of a compound there are. The U.S. Department of State has a fact sheet with some grim details about forced labor in China. We'll have a link to that as well, along with a BBC story with more details about the advanced and pervasive surveillance system being used to monitor Uyghurs, including allegations prisoners are being used to test facial recognition software that attempts to detect changes to emotions. It was part of an episode of BBC show Panorama called "Are You Scared Yet, Human?" I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.